Okay, so we're starting with Simen Tzadi Ches, Sif Hei. Simen Tzadi Ches, Sif Hei. So the first thing we need to talk about here is the machlokas we shown him about whether we say Hanan by Blios. And this is a machlokas we shown him. Yesterday, or Monday, we mentioned there's a machlokas HaRishonim, whether you say Hanan for Basar B'chalach alone, or only for, or even for Shari Surin. But everybody agrees that Halach L'maisa, we say Hanan for Basar B'chalach. The question that the Shulchan Aruch deals with over here is whether we say Hanan for Blios. Now, there are three positions on this topic mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, and we will we'll explain each of those. But fundamentally, this question is not does not relate to the issue that we brought up last time of whether you say Hanan for Shari Surim. This is true even for Basar B'chalach. So let's take the following example. Let's imagine that you have a fleishig pot. So we're going to presume that this pot is saturated with fleishig blios, and that any time you cook in this pot, all the blios will come out. So let's imagine for the moment that the pot is 5 kezesim, meaning to say the actual volume of the pot is 5 zesim, and therefore we assume that there's 5 kezesim of basar in this pot. Let's imagine you cooked flesh in this pot, ben yomo. So now we have a pot with 5 kezesim of basar in the pot. And now you go ahead and in that pot you cook 1 kezais of chalav. So, obviously, the pot is now not kosher. And the question is as follows. What about if subsequently you cook 60 kezesim of broccoli in that pot? So, the view of the Rashba is probably the simplest understanding. The Rashba says, look, when I went ahead and I cooked chalav in this pot, so now the walls of the pot absorbed 1 kezais of chalav, and they're also saturated with at least 5 kezesim of basar. So they mingle and they merge, and now the walls of the pot are saturated with 5 kezesim of basar b'chalav. You couldn't have 6, because the pot itself only is a volume of 5, but the pot itself is saturated with 5 kezesim of blios basar b'chalav. Again, we don't care about the actual pot. It's only the blios of the pot that concern us. The Rashba and the Ramban, both of them certainly don't even consider the possibility of the walls of the pot itself turning into nevela. But the blios of the pot is the issue. And this pot now has 5 kezesim of basar b'chalav. So therefore, if you subsequently cook 60 kezesim of broccoli, that broccoli is going to be usser. That's the view of the Rashba. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, we don't say Hanan for blios. And therefore, obviously the 1 kezais of chalav that you cooked in this pot is going to be basar b'chalav, because you had a kezais of chalav, and inserted into that kezais of chalav is tam basar. So that will be basar b'chalav, and that 1 kezais of basar b'chalav will then be reabsorbed into the pot. But you only have, therefore, 1 kezais of basar b'chalav, not 5. 1 kezais of basar b'chalav, not 5. In other words, the chalav that's absorbed into the walls of the pot can't turn the basar that's already absorbed in the walls in the pot into basar b'chalav. We don't say Hanan by blios. So you only say Hanan when there's mamasha. So the mamasha shel chalav, which is cooking in the pot, that's going to turn into basar b'chalav. But the walls of the pot, which are balua with iser, so that doesn't turn into basar b'chalav. That remains unaffected. So that's the view of the Ramban. Now, it's an interesting practical question. Maybe you should be concerned, according to the Ramban, that, okay, well, some basar b'chalav got absorbed into the walls of the pot, and then more tam basar went into the milk, and then that turned into bas b'chalav, and it goes back in, and it's chozer chalila, and therefore, theoretically, even according to the Ramban, that you don't say chanan by bas b'chalav, you could end up with five kezesim of bas b'chalav. It's an interesting question why you don't say that. The Badi Ashulchan, I think, might ask the question. I'm not really sure of what the answer to that question is, but in terms of his basic sheet, what's clear is that you don't say chanan by blios, and in this case when we're talking about chanan, we're even talking about true chanan, basar b'chalav. In other words, basar b'chalav isn't created. So therefore, in this case, according to the Rashba, if you then cook the 60 kezesim of broccoli, you're going to have 60 kezesim of iser broccoli. According to the Ramban, it will be mutter, because since there's only one kezais of tam basar b'chalav, that's batel and the shishim kezesim of broccoli. Now it'll be fleishig broccoli. You can't eat the broccoli with milchiks, because four kezesim of tam basar will enter into the broccoli, and one kezais of tam basar b'chalav will enter into the broccoli. So the tam basar won't be batel, but the tam basar b'chalav will be batel, and therefore you could eat the broccoli with your power of fleishig food. Yeah, Meir.
Why is there even a kezias of basar b'chalav?
Because the chalav itself turned entirely into basar b'chalav. The tam basar entered the chalav in the pot, right? You started off with a kezias of milk cooking in the pot. The tam basar entered that kezias of chalav, so you definitely have a kezias of basar b'chalav, which then gets reabsorbed into the walls of the pot.
Not saying chanan is basically that the chalav doesn't go into the pot.
If you don't say chanan, then you have basar and you have chalav, but they don't turn into basar b'chalav. They both remain mutter. Yeah.
Maybe this is what Meir's asking, but why is that a part of chanan?
Why does that
work? If I put a thing of milk into basar, so regardless of what I pulled off or not, that's also that's the program of basar b'chalav.
You're saying midrabanan, that should be true. Now, as we know that midrabanan, if you have you mix milk and gravy that's cold. So midiraisa, there's no basar b'chalav because there's no bishul, but midirabanan, you have the tarovas of tam basar and tam chalav, which are also midirabanan. That might be true. But in this case, what happens is blios themselves don't mingle once they're in the walls of the pot, right? So the tam basar that remains in the walls of the pot is unaffected by the chalav that's also balua b'tofo. How are they going to mingle? The chalav becomes basar b'chalav when it's in a state of chalav, right? There's milk cooking in this pot. Because I said milk cooking, milk mamish, right? You pour it from the so that becomes basar b'chalav because the tam basar from the walls of the pot enters the milk. The milk turns into basar b'chalav. So now you have a kezias of old-fashioned basar b'chalav cooking in a pot. That kezias now enters the walls of the pot. Nothing happens in the walls of the pot. Whatever's in the pot gets absorbed into the walls, but its status doesn't change.
How
it doesn't help. That's the point. It's irrelevant.
Let's say,
according to the Ramban or the Rashba?
Rashba
is very simple. The Rashba says that when the blios of basar the blios of chalav enter and diffuse throughout the walls of the pot, they encounter the blios of basar, and they, of course. Well, I don't think it's a machlokas in Matthias. We'll get to in a moment what the gather of the machlokas is. I guess conceivably it could be machlokas in Matthias. But as we'll see when we consider their svaros, there's no reason to assume they're disagreeing with Matthias. The Matthias is little tam particles of basar might in fact bump into tam particles of chalav inside the walls of the pot. I think that's inevitable. There's no machitza to separate them. But that doesn't create basar b'chalav. So each one remains distinct.
I just find it interesting that dispute is described on whether or not you see a chanan by blios versus
it's the same thing. Does balua, to simple understanding, is, and we'll clarify this in a moment, but the simple understanding is machlokas of Rashban Ramban is that if you have balua meets balua, blios meet blios, both of them outside of food, do they create basar b'chalav or not? In other words, we'll get there in a moment, but the simple understanding of the Ramban is, and here you make a good point, that Ramban holds that blios can't create basar b'chalav. Right? Blios can't create basar b'chalav. And the Rashba holds that blios do create basar b'chalav. And if you want to call that Hanan, or you don't have to call it Hanan, that doesn't really matter. We'll prefer Hanan because it would come out that we who say Hanan by Shari Surin, we meaning Ashkenazim, so this would also be enough to mean for Shari Surin to say Hanan, meaning to say if you cook a kezayis of nevela in a five kezayis pot that's old, so if you say Hanan, if you learn like the Rashba, then you'll have five, and Rashba himself doesn't necessarily hold of Hanan by Shari Surin, but if you hold of Hanan by Shari Surin, so then you'll end up with a pot full of five kezayis of Mavisar. Whereas if you learn like the Ramban, even if you hold of Hanan by Shari Surin, it won't. So the same machlokas will exist for Shari Surin if you hold of Hanan by Shari Surin.
In terms of the point that I think Sam is making, Shari Surin should be the same, because if the Chiddush of the Ramban is that Blios can't create Basar B'Chalav.
So if Blios, Kol Shekein, if Blios can't create Basar B'Chalav, right, so they certainly can't cause Heter to turn into Isser to say Hanan.
But
in other words,
the question of maybe you can say Hanan once you already had this for there, but they can't create this from the beginning.
Okay, it's true. You could have said such a thing. You're right. But
they're not exactly.
You're correct. But we're assuming that it works this way for two reasons. One is that Hanan is such that the Isser creates a chalos on the Heter. In other words, the question is, can Heter be changed, in which case it's the same. But the reason why in the end of the day, even though your Svara isn't a bad Svara, it's going to be the same, is because the Pashtus is, though this isn't so simple, but the Pashtus is that Hanan by Shari Surin is modeled after Basar B'Chalav. It's a din de Rabbanan Gzeira Atu Basar B'Chalav. So if you didn't say it by Basar B'Chalav, you would never say it by Shari Surin. Okay?
But if it's not really Hanan by Basar B'Chalav, it's just weird to call it.
But either way, we're calling it Hanan, both by Basar B'Chalav and by Shari Surin. The Gemara uses the term Hanan for Basar B'Chalav, as well as for Shari Surin, if it exists. So those are the terms we use. Okay. So, and again, the reason why we use the term Hanan is because Hanan is the term we use when we talk about Heter turning into Isser, whether that's through a creation of Basar B'Chalav or through any Tarov as a Min B'Shein Omino Isser V'Heter. Okay, so those are the first two views. The third view, which we'll get back to later, we're not going to consider it now, is the Mordechai who considers the possibility that at least for Kli Cheres, the walls of the pot itself is treated like a Nevela. Again, not the Blios. The Ramban and the Rashba are not talking about the walls of the pot itself. They're talking about only the Blios that are absorbed within the wall, right? The Mordechai says maybe, for example, even if you have like Hanan by Shari Surin, according to the Ramban and the Rashba, and if it was a new pot, it would be totally mutter, right? If you cooked, if the pot, again, the volume of the pot, the walls of the pot is five kezayis. If you cooked one kezayis of nevela in that pot, both Kli Cheres, both the Ramban and the Rashba would say the next time you cook, you'd only be concerned with one kezayis. It's only if it's an old pot that you might say there's a problem. Whereas if you learn like the Mordechai, the walls of the pot itself might be turned into nevela, in which case even a new pot this would be relevant. But again, the Ramban and the Rashba themselves don't even consider that option, and we'll get back to that option later. So again, within Iran and Ramban, Ramban and Rashba, we're only talking about the blios within the pot. So what is the svar of the Ramban? L'chor, the svar of the Rashba is pashut. In other words, why wouldn't you say Hanan by blios? Just like when you have food, if blios of basar and blios shel chalav interact with each other, bump into each other, you have basar and chalav. So what maishna food, maishna walls of the pot, right? L'chora, the Rashba makes a lot of sense. The question is, what is the svar of the Ramban? Why wouldn't the Ramban say it? So, at first glance, the Rashba holds that this isn't walls of the pot per se. The question is, can blios create basar b'chalav, right? It's not just blios in the walls of a pot. Is there a possibility of basar b'chalav to be created for blios? The problem with saying this is that l'chora everybody would agree. Let's say you had a potato that absorbed a kezayis of milk, right? You had a hot potato, you poured some hot milk onto it, absorbed a kezayis of milk, and then that same hot potato absorbed a kezayis of gravy. Everybody would say that you say basar b'chalav ki hagavna, right? Even though it's only blios, right? It's only blios. So how could we say that the Ramban holds there's no basar b'challav by blios at all? So here I think we have to distinguish, and this really goes back to the very first point we said in the first year, which is, what are blios and what is tam k'ikar? And I think we could distinguish between two types of tam k'ikar. Let's go back to what we said. We saw in the first sugya that, let's say, a kezias of treif gravy falls into a potato, right? It gets absorbed into that potato, or chaylev nimach, or the like. So that potato becomes usur because of tam k'ikar, right? It's a din in tam k'ikar, even though there's actual mamashas shel chaylev nimoach that gets absorbed into the potato. But if you didn't say tam k'ikar, we would say bittul. Now that we say tam k'ikar, so it's usur, the potato is usur. That's one type of tam k'ikar. The second type of tam k'ikar is when there is no mamashas shel isur at all. For example, you cook that potato in a treif pot, a treif ben yomo pot. So now there's no mamasho shel chelev or nevela that enters the potato, assuming the pot was clean, but still tam nevela enters the potato because they're blios. Those are the two examples of tam kikar. And they're both clearly aser v'deraisa if you hold tam kikar as aser v'deraisa. That's true. Just because they're both equally aser m'deraisa, if tam k'ikar is aser, does that mean they're really the same or they're different? So I think it's mivuar in this Ramban and also the Rashba that they are actually different, that they're different from each other, meaning to say that we don't treat blios that come from mamish in the same way as we treat blios that comes from tam she'en bo mamish. And I'll show you one place where you see this. Yeah. Where you cook the potato in a clean treif pot. Right? So we say that the potato comes also because of tam kicker, right? There's tam nevela in the potato. But we're going to treat it differently than when the actual chelev nimoach gets absorbed. Even though they're both out tam kicker. If you hold tam kicker deraisa, they're both asher midaraisa. And if you hold tam kicker lav deraisa, they're both not asher midaraisa. But they're still different. So one place where you see this is the following. The Rashba writes, I sent it to you in the Makor sheet on the Tzadi Chesamid base, the following. After discussing whether you say Tam Kikar Doraisa, and bringing Rayos for Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam back and forth, he says, Animtsa Psak Halachalinian Tam Kikar, Lefi Divrei Rashi Zal, Im Nitcheva Kaf Shel Isser, Betocha Tavshil. So here are the nafkaminas for tam kikar d'oraisa. Nafkamina number one is if you stick a treif spoon into your mashed potatoes, or v'chein kaf choleves bas yoma betoch kedera shel basar obapech, or you stick a milchik spoon into a pot full of meat that's cooking, or the reverse, v'chein chatichas nevela shenafla betoch kedera, or a piece of nevela that falls into a pot and is taken out. So if you hold basar b'challav is d'oraisa, sorry, if you hold chanan is, sorry, gotta get my words straight. If you hold tam kikar is d'oraisa, then it's asa m'deraisa. And if you hold tam kikar lav d'oraisa, it's not asa d'oraisa. So when you read this, you're astounded. How could he say this? Everybody agrees tam kikar is asa m'deraisa by basar b'challav. That's mefurish. Nobody disagrees. For example, if you go ahead and you have a pot full of milk, and you drop a piece of meat in it, and you take the meat out, all the milk becomes aser, even though it's just tam kikar, right? Just tam kikar, just tam basar in the chalav. Or the reverse, you have a piece of meat that some milk drops into it, basar b'chalav deraisa. So everybody agrees that tam kikar is deraisa by basar b'chalav. So if everybody agrees tam kikar is basar deraisa by basar b'chalav, how could the Rashba say, enough kamina, whether tam kikar is deraisa or not, is if I stick a milchik spoon into a fleishig pot, into a milchik spoon into a pot full of meat? No! That, everybody's going to agree, is deraisa. Even Rashi, even if you hold tam kikar is lav deraisa, that's by shari surin. But by basar b'challav, of course tam is kikar deraisa. So what's the Rashba saying? So l'chora, what you see in this Rashba, is that the Rashba holds that here it would not be asher midoraisa if you hold tam kikar lav deoraisa. Why? Because we're talking about blios she'en bo mamish. There isn't When do we say tam kikers dil raisa l'kulei alma? That's when you have actual meat that gets mixed with milk. So milk falls into a piece of meat, or you cook meat in a pot of milk. When you cook meat into a pot of milk, so the gravy of that meat is secreted from the meat and gets actually mixed into the milk. That's davar sheyesh bo mamish, right? You could see that gravy. It's meichal. It's aser, right, on its own, like we said, if it's not mixed in with other things, if it's nevela. When we're talking about, now it's still only a din in tam ki'ikr, because if tam kikr is lav d'oraisa and we're dealing with isurin, it would be batel b'rov. But then when we say tam kikr d'oraisa, we by basar b'chalav l'kulei alma, we're saying that when you have actual tam sheyesh bo mamish of basar mixed with chalav, or tam chalav sheyesh bo mamish mixed with basar, then everybody agrees tam kikr is d'oraisa. But if you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, then mehecha tesi that this concept of blio shein bo mamish actually exists. Blio shein bo mamish, meaning to say tam that's not connected to any mamashos, maybe they don't even exist mid-d'oraisa. How would you know that's true? The Torah said basar b'chalav, lo sevah shel gedi b'chalav imo. But how do you know that these things are important? You might know they exist from Gulei Klei Midyan, but if you don't think that that's an appropriate makor, because Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'achad, or Chiddushu, or the like, so then maybe these blio shein bo mamish don't exist on a halachic level. I'm not saying they're metaphysical. They might be a physical thing, but tam shein bo mamish klal has no halachic significance whatsoever. And therefore, says the Rashba, if you dip a milchik spoon into a pot full of meat and you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, then it's mutter. The chiddush of tam kikr d'oraisa, put differently, is telling us two things. Number one, it's telling you that blio shel tam, right, tam shein bo mamish klal, actually exists on halachic level. And B, that any time the tam is near gash in the heter, so it becomes aser. So that is what the Rashba is telling us. And I don't want to get into it so much now. Think if you see this yisod in the Rashba answers a couple of other stiras in the Rashba. For example, in one place the Rashba writes that even if you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, you'll still need rov. Right? Rov heter. Like Rashi, we said, saw. On the other hand, the Rashba in a different place says if you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, you don't need rov. Right? Let's say, for example, you cooked a kezias of potatoes in a pot. The pot itself is full of nevela. It's a treif pot, right? So now, there's no rov necessarily because the pot may have secreted a kezias of tam nevela into the potato, which itself is a kezias. So the Rashba says, no, of course that's going to be mutter if you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa. But one second, elsewhere he said, no, even if you hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, you need rov, right? He says the reason why we hold tam kikr lav d'oraisa, like Rashi, is because achri adam latos. There's rov heter. But one second, he says even if there's not rov heter, the answer is there are two different cases. When we're talking about tam sheyesh bo mamish, so then of course you need rov heter. But when we're talking about tam sheyesh bo mamish klal, like blios in a clean pot, so those are mutter even without rov heter, because without the chiddush of tam kikr d'oraisa, they don't even exist in a halachic sense without the chiddush of tam kikr d'oraisa. So taking that chiluk back to our Ramban, so the Ramban now makes a lot of sense. Ramban might say, in fact, that we don't say basar b'chalav by blios. We don't say chanan by blios. When you have balua plus balua, that doesn't create basar b'chalav. I asked the question. One second. Everybody's going to agree that if you have a potato that absorbed a kezias of meat gravy and then a kezias of milk, everybody's going to agree that we say basar b'chalav d'oraisa. The Ramban says we don't say basar b'chalav by blios. We don't say chanan by blios. The answer is a big difference. When we're talking about a potato that absorbed milk or gravy, that's tam sheyesh bo mamish. Tam sheyesh bo mamish, of course the Ramban says we say chanan by such tam. So of course it's going to be an issur d'oraisa if you have the potato that absorbed a kazayas of chalav and then a kazayas of gravy. That's for sure. Because there it's tam sheyesh bo mamish. Inside food, whenever you're talking about food, so food can absorb tam sheyesh bo mamish. That's the capacity of food. Mashein ken kalim. Kalim that are clean don't absorb tam sheyesh bo mamish. They only absorb tam sheyesh bo mamish. Once you wash out your pot, you got rid of all the mamashos. Right, that's why it's going to become mutter after it's Eino Ben Yomo. So there's no mamish. In that case, the Ramban would say that's when you don't say Hanan by Bas B'chalav. So you know, put, that could exist by food. If you cooked a potato in a fleishig pot Ben Yomo clean, and then you cooked that same potato in a milchig pot, so there too the Ramban would say there's no Bas B'chalav, there's no Hanan. So when the Ramban says that there's no Hanan by Blios, so that might be true across the board. It's not just Blios and Kalim. It might be true for all Blios, but it's only with respect to Blios She'ein Bahem Mamish, not Blios She'yesh Bahem Mamish. Basically, what the Ramban is saying is, for Basar B'chalav to be created, you need some type of Mamashas, whether it's Mamashas Shal Basar, with tam chalav mixed in, or mamasho shal chalav with tam basar mixed in. But if you have neither basar nor chalav, all you have is blio shein ben mamish, so then basar b'chalav can't be created. You need one of them to actually exist in a state of mamashos. Yeah?
So, just to make sure I'm getting this clear, basically, we see that within the realm of tam ki ikar, blios are different than mamashos. So Blios are similar to Blios by Tom Baker are going to be different by Hanan, but also be treated as well.
Right, okay. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it wouldn't matter if the potato has to be both, they have both actual milk and actual...
No, in a Hanami. If the potato was... Boleh, if you dropped a kazayis of milk into the potato and then you cooked it in the fleishig pot, so then in a Hanami, you could have basar b'chalav d'oraisa. Right. Correct. Yeah.
I'm wondering, I saw a different answer. And by the
Prima Gadol says something like that.
Is that an issue of the Rashba? That's like, you don't have to...
No, so the Rashba might disagree with that. In other words, the Rashba might say, no, any time, it's still Derech Bishul, right? Yeah.
Does we say yeesh emhem mamish? Is that another? Is the step removed? Meaning there was mamish and then there was balua.
Okay.
Is that because it's the same as I'm saying, like really there was mamish, like, there was milk at some point.
But milk, but the actual milk can't be absorbed into walls of the pot. A pot is not like a sponge, right? If I spill milk and I take a sponge and I clean it up, so now the sponge actually sucks up the milk, and now I have mamashos shel chalav in the sponge. And if I squeeze my sponge into a cup, then I'll have milk. I can drink the milk, right? Delicious. Now, that right? So pots don't work like sponges. When pots are boleya something. So though that blios is not mamish. For example, we know that when it comes to a pot, anything that's any time that's eino ben yomo is an oser, right? When it comes to a sponge, that wouldn't be true. If you sponged up some milk, right, and then 36 hours later squeezed that milk into a pot of meat, assuming it's not spoiled, it would create basar b'chalav, right? Because that's just chalav that's absorbed into its mashushal chalav that's absorbed into a sponge. That's not true for a pot. Clean pots absorb particles of chalav or basar or whatever, but those particles are particles she'ein ben mamish. They're capable of imparting taste, but they have no mamashas, halachically speaking, at the very least. I assume chemically speaking, they have mamish, but halachically speaking, they're ein ben mamish. And therefore, those are treated differently. Right? Okay. Fine. So now I'll just give you a marmakom, which we'll get back to later in the year. It could be that the Ramban here is l'shitaso in his position of not bar not, The Ramban holds that Napar Nat's only mutter when it's Tam Shlishi. And the question is, why isn't he concerned in the Tam Sheni, meaning say the Tam of the Kutach goes into the fish, so that's only Tam Sheni, and it mixes with the thing. So I won't try to explain this now, but when we get to Nat Bar Nat in the Ramban Shita, he might be Lishitasu there, though it's not so clear. Okay, so that's that is Shitas HaRamban and the Rashba. There are some other ways to explain this, which I think fit nicely with what we're saying, though it's not fit nicely. The Gra on this halacha quotes the Tumas Hadesh and Simon Kuf Pei Gimel, who says that the pshat of in Blios Pekelim is that Heter Balua doesn't have a mitzius to aser the iser balua, and this is like the principle of tuma balua and tara balua, right? So what exactly does that mean? I'm not sure. But what I think it means is probably something along the lines of what we're saying, which is, just again, as a mashal, to create basar b'chalav, a tam basar isn't even enough. You see from Nat Bar Nat that a tam sheni shel basar doesn't have the koach to create basar b'chalav. Like, if you don't understand this yet, we'll get there, don't worry. So along similar lines, when something is only in the state of balua, it doesn't have the koach to create iser. And just like you see for tumah balua, it doesn't have that koach to transfer tumah when it's balua. So too, when it comes to chanan, or the creation of basar b'chalav. And then there's also what you were referring to, the prima gadim. The Chazon Ish is something along similar lines. This is Simen Tazayin Os Gimel, that Balua Nekli is Batel Agav HaKli V'lo Chashiv Shem Ochel U'mashka Le'aser Machmas Basar B'chalav. The Nafkamina, conceivably, between the way I'm saying it and the Chazon Ish is saying it, is the way I'm saying it, it's conceivably possible in food, right? Like I said, a potato cooked in a fleishig pot, and then that same potato is cooked in a milchig pot. I would still say, according to the Ramban, you don't have basar b'chalav, whereas according to the Chazon Ish's understanding of the Ramban, maybe you would. Then there's what you alluded to, the Prima Gadim, which is Mishpat Shos Zahav Sifkat and Ches, who says that since basar b'chalav is only asur min haTorah when it's mixed derech bishul, and the taroves bedofne akli is not derech bishul, so therefore it's only going to be aser midrabanan, and therefore since it's only aser midrabanan, they weren't machmir to say chanan. Okay, so that's the machlokas between the Rashba and the Ramban. So how do we paskin? So the tour is very ambiguous, and in fact, the machlokas, the Beis Yosef and the Darkei Moshe have a machlokas whether the Tur learns like the Rashba or the Ramban. According to the Beis Yosef, the Tur holds like the Rashba. How does he know that? Because the Tur was only makil, explicitly at least, in the case of a new spoon. Right? He says if you have a kaf chadasha, so then you don't have to worry about the blios. Now one second, if you held like the Ramban, say a much bigger nafkamina, even if it's an old spoon, it's going to be mutter. You never have chanan by blios, right? So from the fact that the Torah was only makel by kaf chadasha, the Beis Yosef says we could be medayik. He doesn't say this is his diuk, but lachar that's his diuk. You could be medayik that he holds like the Rashba. On the other hand, the Darkei Moshe says no, the Torah holds like the Ramban. How does he know that? The Rama basically says that we know that from Simen Kuf Zayin. In Simen Kuf Zayin, the tour is mako. If you use a spoon to take a fly out of your chicken soup, so the spoon will only become aser keneged the fly, and he doesn't seem to be concerned with he doesn't seem to be concerned with the blios, right? Let's say I take the fly itself is only a 1/10 of a kezias. The spoon is an entire kezias. So the Torah says, if I use my spoon to fish out the fly, I'm only going to have 1/10 of a kezias blio shalisser in my spoon. Asks the Rama, well, if you hold like the Rashba, you'll have a full kezias of this, because we'll say chanan and the blios. So you see that the Torah holds like the Ramban. So what's the Beis Yosef going to say? The Beis Yosef will say, and this is what the Taz, Sifkat and Ches, answers for the Beis Yosef, says, what kind of raya is that? That's because the Torah doesn't hold of Hanan by Shari Surin. The Torah paskins like Rabbeinu Ephraim. How does he know that? Seems strange. What did the Rama think? So it's not explicit in the Torah, as far as I know, but the Torah quotes the Rush, who holds like Rabbeinu Ephraim, that we don't say Hanan by Shari Surin. So the Beis Yosef assumes that the Torah paskins like his father, and therefore he doesn't hold of Hanan by Shari Surin, and that's why the case of from Kuf Zayin, the flying the spoon's okay. But by Basar B'Chalav, of course you would hold of Hanan by Shari Surim. Sorry, of course you would hold by Hanan and Blios, like the Rashba. And Mimela Ladidan, at the very least, that we paskin like Rabbeinu Tan, that we say Hanan by Shari Surin, then we would be concerned with the Rashba sheet of Hanan by Blios. Well, Chora, there's a Raya Mefurish, like the Beis Yosef, that the Torah holds of the Rashba, not the Ramban, from Simin Tzadi Beis, Sifhei. There the Torah writes, explicitly, that we say Hanan by Blios, in the case of Basar B'Chalav. Let's say you have a pot, and a kazayas of milk gets absorbed into the pot. Let's say from the outside. This mamash, this is Shiloh, came to me a couple weeks ago. Somebody had their crock pot, we're even going to get to Hanan by Blios in this case. Somebody's cooking a basar b'chalav. Sorry, chas v'shalom. They were cooking their chalent in a crock pot, cheres crock pot, so can't be kashered. And their baby comes into their kitchen and flings the bottle across the room. A drop of milk from the bottle goes flying out of the pot, out of the bottle, and lands on their crock pot, the outside walls of the crock pot, above the level of the food. So, the outside. They didn't have the inside crock pot. They had the west pan. There we go. Except then it wasn't Charis. Anyway, they had that type of crock pot. So now, what's the halacha? So this is mamish discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, right? Type of case that you get very excited, except really there was not too much they could do because they can't even kosher it. The baby wrecked the crock pot. When we get there, you'll see. Tell me if you figure out any haterim for him. But anyway, so in this case, what's the halacha? So the Torah says that kazayis of milk will then create basar b'chalav in the walls of the chalan pot, which are saturated with meat, and you basically have now you have 60 drops of basar b'chalav in the walls of the crock pot, not just a single one, right?
Did you say it was just a drop?
Yeah, 60 drops, because that one drop, let's say a drop is 0.1 ounces, can now create 60 ounces. Oh, you're saying why doesn't it come batal?
Yes.
That's because, we'll get to this later, but we don't assume that in a kli, it necessarily spreads equally throughout to become batal. In other words, it might just sort of stay in the general area, the vicinity of where it landed. So now, it's going to trafe up 60 drops of within the kli, which is actually enough to potentially assay the food. So not only that, but when they took out their chalent, you can't pour it out of the side of the pot like you might ordinarily do. You have to make sure that you remove the chalent in a way that makes sure, that ensures that it doesn't touch the part of the pot, which is now awesome, meaning to say the part of the pot that's above the food level. Great case. Anyway, but what do you see from that halacha? You see that the Torah holds of Hanan by Blios, right? According to the Ramban, there's no Basar B'Chalav. It's true, you still might have to throw out your crock pot because there's a drop of milk that was absorbed, and so you couldn't cook fleishigin anymore, but you wouldn't have any basar b'chalav. You certainly wouldn't have 60 drops of basar b'chalav. And the Torah says over there explicitly that you have 60 drops of basar b'chalav. So what's the Rama going to do? The Rama is, it can't be right. The Torah holds of basar b'chalav by Hanan, of Basar B'Chalav by Blios. So the Darkei Moshe is aware of that issue. In our Simen, he says, no, it's different over there because it's a Kli Cheres. What difference does Kli Cheres make? So he sends you to what he says in Simon Tzadi Beis, where he explains a little more. What does he say in Simon Tzadi Beis? So in Simon Tzadi Beis, he quotes a Mordechai who says, Cheres is different. How is Cheres different? Why is Cheres different? So the Mordechai says the following. And this is actually very unclear. It's not clear what the Mordechai held, and nor is it clear exactly what the Ramah held. There's actually going to be three opinions. The Shach, the Taz, and the simple reading of the Ramah concerning what the Mordechai actually said. However, the simple reading of the Mordechai as understood by the Ramah is as follows. The Mordechai, according to the Ramah, says that a Chumrah and a Kula. The Chumrah over the Ramban and the Rashba is that when it comes to Kli Cheres, we say Hanan not just in terms of the Blios, but the actual Charsis, the actual material that makes up the pot. So this is going further than anything we've seen. For example, if you, and this is true, even if you don't hold of Hanan by Blios. So therefore, the Ramah says, even though the Tur paskins like the Ramban and the Rashba are arguing about Hanan and Blios. Here we're dealing with a Cheres, a Kli Cheres. Forget Hanan and Blios, there's a bigger problem. There's Hanan and the actual Charsis HaKli. And that's why the Tur is Machmir in Simon Tzadi Beis. Now, of course, this seems to be crazy. How could you imagine saying Hanan in the actual Kli? The Kli isn't food, right? Like we said yesterday, L'chora, you could eat the pot, assuming you don't break your teeth, right? It's not food. How can you say Hanan if it's not food? Hanan means the food shall heter is treated like Isser. This isn't food. Oh. So what is the Mordechai saying? How could the Mordechai say we say Hanan in the actual Charsis HaKli? Just to clarify, again, what's the chiddush of this Mordechai? Let's imagine the following. Let's say even by Shari Surin. Let's say you had a brand new pot. Brand new Kli Cheres. So, and you cook, the Kli Cheres is 5 kezaisim, and you cook a kezais of nevela in this pot, this Kli Cheres. Then you say, oh no, you throw it out, and now you cook potatoes. So, according to the Ramban and the Rashba, you'd only have to worry about being mevatel one kezai. So if you had 60 kezaisim of potatoes, they're mutter. According to the Mordechai, it's aser. Unless you had 300 kezaisim. More, right? Because what? Because the actual charsis hakli turned into nevela. So even though you know that there's only one kezai of blios, there can't be more than one kezai of blios shel nevela because it's a brand new pot and you only cooked in a kezai of nevela. Right? One kezai of food can't create two kezaisim of blios. So therefore, according to the Ramban and the Rashba, it's surely mutter, but according to the Mordechai, it's aser. Right? Even though it's new. That's the idea of Hanan in the actual Charsis HaKli. So again, the question is, why would you say this? What's it coming from? And in fact, this possibility seems so far-fetched and crazy that we'll see the Shach claims that the Mordechai didn't say it. Even though it sounds like from the Mordechai saying it, it's impossible. It's impossible to say Hanan by Kli. Hanan's only possible by food. The Mordechai didn't say it. He even tries to say that the Ramah didn't say it, but he can't quite pull that off. but it's simply lo ole al hadas to say that. And he seems to be right. How could you say it? So what in the world does the Mordechai hold? So the Mordechai, let's go back to a similar concept that we saw quoted in the Ravid in the previous Sif. Now it's not the same as the Ravid, but it's a similar idea. Remember the Ravid said that even though we learn from Chal that you have to be Mishar Keneged Kulo, that's only for food. But when it comes to Kalim, you could be Mishar Ba'omid Yafa, except with a Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, since you can never get the contents out, you can't kasher Kli Cheres, so Memela, you have to be Mishar Keneged Kulo. So we asked, what difference does it make? What's the difference between a Kli Cheres and a Kli Mataches? What difference does it make that you can't kasher the Kli Cheres? And the answer is, as we saw, that when two things are inseparable, so they become integrative. We see them as a single unit. And the koach of the iser to have an effect on the heter of a single unit of something that's integrated is much more likely. As long as things are only temporarily together, so we see they're temporarily together. They don't have an effect on one another because they're going to be separated shortly. And therefore, he says, when you have nevela that's absorbed into a kli mateches, so since this is just a temporary state of affairs, we don't see the mateches as being affected. And memela, you only have to be mishar keneged the meat. So the Mordechai is like the Ravid on steroids. It's not the same thing. Certainly there's no reason to assume that Ravid agrees to this. But it's saying the following. It's saying that when two things are together, in this, and they're together and they're integrated and they're permanently together and they'll never be separated. Right? There's a marriage between the Blio Shaliser and the Kli Cheres. So they become a single unit, and Mimela, they'll affect each other halachically. So therefore we're going to say Chanan, even on the Kli. Now, one second, it's not food. You could still eat the Kli. How could you possibly imagine saying Chanan on the Kli? The answer is the Yesod that we said last time. Chanan doesn't mean the Heter Mamish turns into Iser. It's not necessarily the same thing as Nefach. And that's why we have all these exceptions to Chanan, like Ein HaIser Oser. Right? Chanan doesn't actually turn it into nevela. It says that when you're mevatel the iser, you also have to be mevatel the carrier of the iser. You have to be concerned not just with the iser, but what's holding it. So memela, that's shaykh by a kli. If you said that the pshat in Chanan is that it turned the heter into iser, so that's, of course, totally inconceivable when it comes to a pot. But if you say the Chanan is a din and bittel, you have to be mevatel not just the Yisr, but the carrier of the Yisr, so then you could imagine, still a huge chiddush, but you could imagine saying that even by the Charsis Sakli. So that's why the Rama understands that the Mordechai held that for even for Shari Surim, even though we don't say, even though we generally speaking, the Torah, at least Paskins like the Ramban, we have to be concerned with Chanan in the actual Charsis HaKli. Oh. So one more. Okay, so that's what. So the Rama says that the Mordechai is both a Kula and a Chumra. It's a Chumra that we say Chanan even in the Charsis HaKli, right? So the Nafka Mina would be you'd even say Chanan for a brand new Kli Cheres. It's also a Kula, because he holds like the Ramban that we don't say Chanan and Blios, right? And those two things are fundamentally not related to each other. One shaila is, do you say Chanan and Blios? That was the shaila of when Balua meets Balua, do they create Basa B'chalav or no? That's one shaila, and that shaila is Mekel, so the Mordechai is a Kula. And then there's the second shaila of Chanan and Acharsis HaKli. And in that, for Kli Mateches, obviously it's okay. But for Kli Cheres, so then we say. That's the opinion of the Rama Bidas Ha Mordechai. Yeah.
Two questions. First, for the Derech Moshe, explaining the tour in 70s is like the Mordechai. So why, what were the eights of pouring on the other side felt from the whole Kli?
Why didn't the whole Kli become Usher?
Yeah.
Because any Tam Shel Isser that went below the food level will be batel into the food, because it's definitely shishim. In other words, we don't know exactly, this we'll get to later, but when something gets absorbed into the walls of a pot from the outside, so we don't know where it goes. If it were to diffuse evenly throughout, then it's going to be batel, or shishim, it's just a drop of milk, right? If it remains concentrated in a single place, then it will be iser. But once, if it were to spread to below the food level, so once again, then there's koach for bittel, because the food spreads everything out evenly. So the walls of the pot are definitely mutter below food level. They just become aser above food level, which is why you have to remove the food without touching the iser pot, iser part.
You're going to say chanan on the pot, you're like in a great
yeah, because it still can't go further where if it's empty, it's empty.
Okay.
Right?
Chanan on that part. And then also, I think I saw somebody really asking some question, Mordecai. Even if you're going to say that it becomes, in that case of a new plea that the first plea is the time the prior plea is nevela, there still needs to be some interaction between the nevela now, the chatif that's not the nevela, and the food that's coming in contact with the state that's going to ask for it. If you have nevela and you throw it outside and cooking food, it's not going to, it has no effect on what I'm cooking. Right. So when I'm cooking the new food in the pot, even if the pot has a status of nevela, why do I need to be mevatel beyond the kazayas of chala? What am I getting? What is the interaction?
The answer is I have to be mevatel, not just the nevela, but the carrier of the nevela. So therefore, I have to be mevatel not just the nevela that's balu on the klicharis, but also the klicharis. Now, it's only where the klicharis happens to be carrying nevela, you're right. But where the klicharis is carrying nevela, I have to be mevatel that. And there's
I already be cooking in one pot, heter in the pot next to it. Yes. Nevela, I don't need to move out to that nevela.
Right,
there's
of course.
No interaction between the two. So the interaction because
so why
you're interacting with the iser.
You're interacting with the iser, right?
So, then
so you have to be mevatel, not just the iser, but the carrier of the iser. Yeah.
The only nafkamina in the world that being a kula would be a mustard of color?
No, the nafkamina would be kli matachas. Then he's going to fully accept the Ramban, or he could. Okay. Fine. Now, there are some other positions. The Taz accepts the Ramah's understanding of the Mordechai's Chumrah, but he thinks he's also going to be... It's only a Chumrah, it's not a Kula. Meaning to say, when it comes to a Kli Charas, so we'll say Hanan in the Charsis HaKli. If it's a Kli Mateches, we'll still say Hanan in the Blios, just not in the Charsis HaKli. In other words, he'll hold like the Rashba in addition to his Chiddush. And finally, the third view is the Shach. The Shach, as I said before, thinks that to say that there's Hanan in the actual Charsis HaKli is totally inconceivable. It's lo ole al hadas. And therefore, what in the world is he saying? He's saying no. What's the difference meaning to say between the Kli Cheres and Kli Mateches? Clearly, the Mordechai says there's some difference between Mateches and Cheres. So he's accepting the Ramban when it comes to Kli Mateches and accepting the Rashba when it comes to Kli Cheres. Right? In other words, when you're dealing with the Kli Cheres, we'll say Hanan in Blios, not the Kli, that's ridiculous, but in Blios. Whereas when it comes to Kli Mateches, we'll accept the Ramban that there's no Hanan in Blios. Now the question is, what in the world is the logic according to the Rashba, according to the Shach, right? In other words, when it comes to the Charsis HaKli, so then I could understand that there's a difference between Cheres and Mateches. But if all we're talking about is Blios, so Blios and Cheres is the same thing as Blios and Mateches. If I think that Balua meeting Balua creates Parsa B'Chalav, that's going to be true. Bein b'Cheres, bein b'Mateches. If I think that it's not true, if I learn like the Ramban, it's also going to be true. Bein b'Cheres, bein b'Mateches. Why on the level of Blios should there be a difference between Blios in a Kli Cheres and Blios in a Kli Mateches? So I think maybe the Shach would say, fundamentally, the Svara we said in the Mordechai is correct. Namely, that because there's a permanent connection between the Blios in the Kli Cheres and the Kli Cheres, so that turns the Kli Cheres into a Nevela. But that's impossible. It's not food. So it only expresses itself in terms of the Blios. In other words, the Shach agrees with the same lamdas that we applied for the Taz and the Ramah's understanding of the Mordechai, except there has to be a limit. We're not going to go so far and say that's true even so as to aser the charsis hakli. That's impossible. It's not food. So memela, it expresses itself only in terms of the blios. Fine. So how do you read the Shulchan Aruch? So reading the Shulchan Aruch is a little tricky. That's why I gave you these little chart. But just to go through the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. So again, Tzadi Ches Hei. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, this is the Mechaber. Im yadua kama hua iser kigon kaf chadasha o sheina bas yoma shenir ba uvala kezayis chalav, ve'achar kach ni'er ba kedera shel basar, ein sarach elashishim levatel ha'kazai shebalos. So that's a mechaber, paskening like the Rashba. Now then the Ramah chimes in and he says, v'lo aminan gabi kli chaticha nases nevela, afilu im ni'eru bo iser. So the Ramah is saying here that we don't say by the guf ha'kli that if it was near ma'at iser, that the guf ha'kli becomes aser. Right? This is at least how the Taz and the Gra, the Gra's in Simen Sadi Beis Sifkatan Chafhei, and the Taz over here explain this line. In other words, the Ramah here is clarifying the first opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, and this is the opinion of the Rashba. So he's clarifying that when the Rashba says that we have Hanan by Blios, know that it's only the Blios and not the actual Kli, not the walls of the pot. Then the Mechaber continues, Aval Kaf Yishano Vas Yoma Misharin Bekula Shabala Dekoma Shabala Nase Sisser Velo Yadinan Kamabala. So the first opinion in the Mechaber is the opinion of the Rashba, and the Ramah's comment is just clarifying that when the Rashba holds of Hanan by Blios, it's only Blios as opposed to the Charsis HaKli. Then the Mechaber quotes the second opinion, the Ramban, V'yesh mi she'omer she'gam b'zu ein sarach el ha'shishim levat el kazai she'bala. So the Stam opinion in the Mechaber is the Rashba, the Yesh Omrim is the Ramban. Mestam the Mechaber thinks Dikar Halacha is like the Rashba, but usually we paskin like the Stam over the Yesh Omrim. Now the Ramah comes, Vaga, the Svar Rishon Iker, so the Rashba is correct, Kemoshin is Bar Liel, Gabe Tipas Chalav Shanaf Lala Kadeva. And then the Ramah says, V'yesh She'enan Mechalkin. So this Yesh Omrim is who? The Mordechai. V'yesh She'enan Mechalkin Ben Kaf Yashan L'Kaf Chadash. There's no difference, meaning to say whether it's new or old. Why? Because the Mordechai is a Kula and a Chumra. Right? Rak ben kli cheres l'shar kelim. The omrim, de be kli cheres de'i afsher l'hafrid ha'isra al yidei ha'gala aminan ha'kli nasa nevela. Avalo b'shar kelim. So this is the view of the Mordechai, the Ye, right? And what does the Ramah conclude? V'tov lachosh l'chumra v'ayim l'el simen tzadi beis. So ideally, one should be choshish l'chumra, which means, practically speaking, we're going to adopt the chumra of both the Rashba as well as the Mordechai, right? He writes v'yesh lachosh l'chumra, meaning say you should be choshish for the chumra of the Mordechai, but not the kula of the Mordechai. The kula of the Mordechai we reject, and that's because the Ramah already said at the earlier, at the beginning, that the ikar halacha is really like the Rashba, right? So if you hold like the Rashba, then you've already rejected the kula of the Mordechai. So the Ikar Halacha, it sounds like from the Ramah, Ikar Adin, we paskin like the Rashba. Yesh Lachosh for the Chumra of the Mordechai, meaning to say to be Choshish for the Charsis HaKli, to be Choshish for the Charsis HaKli, but not certainly the kula of the Mordechai. And therefore, but that's already a Betoras Chumra, which is why he would consider being Mekel perhaps in Hefzid Merubas or the like, as the Shach and the Taz note. Okay, so Ad Kan Sim Sif Hey. So, I guess we're out of time almost, so we'll stop here. Let me just tell you about our plans. I think that after we finish Simen Sadi Ches, we're going to take a little break and learn the sugya of Hanan by Shari Surim. And that's because to wait to do it to where it comes up in the Shulchan Aruch is a little too late, because it comes up in Simen Sadi Beis. So it's a long time till we get to Simen Sadi Beis. It also comes up in Simen Kavav. But it's a while till we get to Simen Kavav. And we're going to keep on seeing it come back. So we're going to spend a little time talking about Hanan by Shari Surin, which will require that you do some of Tzadi Beis and some of Kufav. I sent you Makoros. Now, what I sent you is a little overwhelming, and I don't expect that you're going to see all of that now. We'll do it you know, you'll do as much as you can now, and it'll be a hakdama. And as we come back to it again and again, hopefully you'll come up with a, you know, it'll become more and more clear. The reason why I'm not waiting till then is because, again, like we've seen in Simen Tzadi Ches and again in Simen Tzadi Tes, the ideas of Hanana keep on coming back, so it's a shame not to see it at all. So that's what we're going to do. So on Monday, Be'ezras Hashem, we will finish Simen Tzadi Ches. We're going to focus for Monday on Sif Ches and Sif Tes. And maybe, we'll see, maybe we'll even be able to start... the discussion of Hanan, though probably not so realistic. So you have Rosh Hashanah to learn the sugya of Hanan, all that free time for learning in Rosh Hashanah, or at least Shabbat Shuvah, or I don't know when. And then what do we have? So we'll have basically two more shiurim the following week, right? Right, we'll have Monday and Wednesday shiur, and then that's it, then it's been as mine. So I'm not 100% sure. Maybe this is, I guess, well, we could reassess at that point. But we'll have two shiurim on Hanan by Shari Surin, the week of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And then after we get back, after Bein Hazmanim, we'll begin Simen Tzadi Tes. Okay? So, as I said, if you didn't get it, I have the Makoros printed out that I gave out, that I emailed to you already. Okay, all two.